Welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports betting perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Sunday, October 24th, Ian Cameron, Andrew McGinnis, and we've got a special guest joining us today, loyal fan, viewer, listener of the Ice Guys for years, Terry Edelman, Mr. Minnesota Wild, fan club president himself, joining us here on the Sunday edition of the show. Of course, as we always say at this time of year, this is our first Sunday edition of the Ice Guys for this new season. Last week we had no Sunday show because there was only one game on Sunday. We talked about it on Saturday, but today, different story. Four games on tap. We will break them all down, but we always say at this time of year, I know Sundays are for NFL football, you know, October, November, December, but make sure you leave some room in your life, in your heart, and in your bank account for some hockey as well on Sundays at this time of year. And we got four games to dive into. Before that, we'll look back on last night, the days where we have a lesser amount of games. We always like to take the time to look back at what happened last night. We'll start with the headliner, and that's the Seattle Kraken, of course, opening up their home schedule, the first home game at Climate Pledge Arena. Man, was I impressed with that building. I mean, it had that futuristic, you know, future up in outer space look to it, to be honest with you, from the outside and inside. I like the idea of having the big Jumbotron scoreboard, not in the center, but actually at the side, and actually presenting it in a way that it's viewable for everybody. So I was very, very impressed with the building. I was very, very impressed with the energy Seattle played with last night. And actually, I thought they played a pretty good hockey game overall, but unfortunately, Philip Grubauer is becoming a story for Seattle and a bad story for them. It's been a struggle. It's been a very, very rough start to his season and his tenure with this expansion franchise. And it continued last night. A couple of those goals right through him, the Horvat goal to tie it 1-1, the goal that won it for the Vancouver Canucks, Connor Garland, just gets that five hole opened up with a little bit of a hesitation move and slides it right through the wickets of Philip Grubauer. He was just basically out goaltended last night by Thatcher Demko, who's played very well so far tonight, this season, I should say, for the Canucks. So Vancouver gets the win and spoils the party, if you will, last night against Seattle. A couple other results that were interesting. What a comeback by the New York Rangers early in the day. One of the first games, they were down 2-0 in the third period. They were down 2-0 with like 7 or 8 minutes left. And then the floodgates opened, three consecutive goals, and the Rangers continue to roll with a 3-2 victory over the Ottawa Senators. Calgary blows a 3-0 lead to Washington, but rallies back in overtime to beat the Capitals 4-3. Kind of a predictable flat spot for Washington because they played Tampa, they played some Colorado, they played some big-time teams, and then an inter-conference, out-of-conference team comes into the Capital region. And you could tell Washington just wasn't themselves. Not a great game there. Terry's Wild, after a bit of a back-and-forth start with Anaheim, find a way in overtime, 4-3. The Jets, two wins in a row for them, despite still being without Scheifele and Wheeler, 6-4 over the Predators. And Andrew McGinnis can breathe a sigh of relief. The Montreal Canadiens have won their first game of the season, 6-1 over Detroit. Colorado bounces back to beat Tampa, 4-3. Jersey in overtime over Buffalo, 2-1. The Florida Panthers, man, 5-0. They just keep on rolling, 4-2. What can I say about this hockey team? They just continue to be an absolute machine. So impressed with what we're seeing. Aaron Ekblad, by the way, another shots on goal winner for him. Three shots on goal last night for the Panthers. Over 2.5 shots cashes in. You keep riding that prop with him, I think good things will happen. The Toronto Maple Leafs, good things did not happen for them last night. 7-1. Blowout loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Just awful. And I thought they actually played well for a period or so, but then talk about a mentally fragile team potentially. Soon as a couple goals went in there for Pittsburgh, it's like, what? We're out of this thing. They checked out. They started making mistakes. They started playing actually really bad from that point, and it ended up being a romp for the Penguins. And all of a sudden, the Leaf fan base is already very, very disconcerted and very, very concerned about the way this thing has started for the Leafs here, especially this week, three losses in a row for them. Carolina beats Columbus 5-1. Blues pound the Kings 7-3. I'm telling you what, that's an offensive dynamo right now, that Blues team. They can score goals, and we haven't been able to say that for a couple of years, but they got an offense this year. Arizona loses, nothing new there. Gets shut out by the Islanders, 3-0. And as we mentioned, of course, Seattle loses their first home game to Vancouver. So there you go. Look at Saturday. Andrew, some thoughts from what we saw on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good day. Good day of hockey, a lot of competitive games. That Ottawa, you know, I actually ended up with no action in that game. You know, we talked about it briefly. You and I kind of ran through those early games. But I got to say, Ottawa got screwed. And I never say stuff. I'm not even usually a referee basher kind of guy. Like, they got screwed. And the league is having trouble, or Ottawa's having trouble getting fans in the seats because they play in Kanata, not in downtown Ottawa. Shit like that's not going to help them get more fans in the seats at home games. They played an outstanding home game for about 50 minutes, and then that happens. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. I know that you could say that the whole Murray thing, that was kind of an equal share for both of them. But as someone that's a Montreal Canadiens fan, I know what happened with Carey Price and Chris Kreider. You guys all remember what happened. Chris Kreider has a history of injuring goaltenders and being a pest around the net. And then Timmy Stützle, he takes a diving call. I'm all for diving calls. I love seeing them call embellishments. But I just hate when they change the game. You know, I hate when those type of plays and the referees like that change the game that late. Call an embellishment call in the second period to make a statement, but don't call that, you know, when there's a couple minutes left in the game. I didn't really like that too much. The Leafs, you know, if I had the energy even with this team, I would give you guys a funny rant about them. But, you know, in all honesty, I'm disappointed because I think I had a great day with picks I gave out on the show with you yesterday. And this is why I always say that I don't think best bets should be taken as anything too crazier than anything else. But I've struggled to single out a best bet on this show on the Ice Guys since I've been back, but I've given out plenty of winners. You know, that New Jersey, Buffalo first period under cashes. Yep. You know, we hit the St. Louis over. We had all kinds of plays. And then yesterday, the one that I said, you know, great spot for the Maple Leafs. And pretty much what you and I have turned into saying, and it sounds like we're all now on the same page with this, is that you literally can't bet something with a hope anymore. And that's why I stayed off the Habs, because I didn't want, you know, you don't try and catch a falling knife. And that's why I wasn't on them. It was a good spot for them. The closer to game time we got, I liked it, but I didn't want to play them in regulation at that price even. Didn't like the money line. But, you know, it's just frustrating because the Maple Leafs, I mean, such a great bet on spot. And as much as I always make fun of them on Twitter, and it's kind of just something I've kind of just made a wrap of, I bet on them. So first of all, I couldn't even have fun making fun of them. But second of all, it just goes to show half the salary is not scoring. Johnny T, Nylander, Marner, and Matthews. And what really pisses me off is Leaf fans when they blame goaltending and defensemen. You can't keep blaming defensemen and goaltending for the last 4 or 5 years. You have to blame the guys you're paying $11 million. And I get it. We're only a couple games in. But the fact is, they've got a bunch of guys that love to score that don't play 200-foot hockey. And a half AHL and half NHL roster in the Penguins absolutely beat you down. You know, that's what's embarrassing. They didn't even lose 4-3. They lost, and it wasn't even close. So nothing new with the Coyotes. 3-0. Islanders get it done. Had that parlay with the Islanders in the Wild. Wild game. Closer than I thought it would be. Terry, you know, the Ducks
really was a wild game. Yeah.
The Ducks continue to piss me off, but this time I came out on top. And I'll tell you what, because Terry, you and I were talking in DMs the last time these two teams played. I'm really happy I made that two team parlay, because if I would have made the regulation wager again or a puck line, it would have been a loser. So I'm happy I made that two team parlay. And I just got a second Ian's thoughts here about the Blues. I mean, I don't like to double dip, and Ian and I've messaged him before about CFL, how I get caught up doing that with the football, and you know, it doesn't always work out too well. And so I wanted to go Blues and the over, but I'm not a huge double dipper, and you know, the Blues hit the over on their own. So extremely impressive performance from them. Hurricanes, they helped both Ian and I out on that over. I mean, they pretty much did the bulk of the workload. But you know, in the Kraken game, you know, I sat here and said I might be the contrarian, and didn't have the cojones to do it. But I mean, Seattle played a great game. You could just tell, guys, that even though everybody said all this hype would be, you know, around Seattle, and I could see a lot of people, they liked Seattle because of that reason. It's true. I mean, they played like it was a playoff game out there. They play with some purpose. Yep. The situation set up great. You know, I'm happy you cashed that first period wager on Seattle.
Yeah, I split. Ian. Nothing, no harm, no foul. 1-1.
Yeah.
First period in full game Seattle. So,
and you know what's an interesting bet I was thinking for that game that would have been even was for Seattle to score the first goal. You know, that probably would have been a decent price, and then you would have taken out the rest of the game. But, yeah, great slate yesterday. I thought there were some pretty good games. Kind of disappointed in myself. I stayed off the Panthers. That was kind of the one where I was mad about. As you know, I kind of have been up and down with my volume, but that was the one where it was like, it was kind of a no-brainer. And because it was a no-brainer, I stayed off it. You know what I mean? With the Panthers, I can't be betting them every game.
No.
You know, but good slate. But, you know, to echo what you said about Sunday, there were so many times when I started handicapping, I would be, you know, had my NFL card ready. I was finalizing prop picks, you know, going to a bar with my friends, doing whatever. And I'm like, it's probably a crappy NHL card. I'm telling you, last year, Sunday might have been one of my most successful days in the NHL. You know, there's travel days in MLB. I think Monday's that in the NHL as well. It's kind of hard to cap Mondays. NHL, you can usually find some good bet on spots.
Yeah, I mean, four games on Sunday today, and which is usually you get 4 to 5, 6 games, usually not much more than that. But yeah, Sundays can be profitable. Very good day for me yesterday, so I'll take it. That was probably awesome. One of my best days of the year yesterday. Very, very good with the opinions. A lot of them Florida, the overs in the Carolina game, the over in the Kings game. What else did we have? We had Winnipeg. They got it done. We had Florida. We had the Seattle bets. So it was overall.
Now, we're going to talk about it today, obviously, but how much of a fade is Nashville? I mean, they scored 4 goals.
Colorado, Tampa game. Over. I had that too. And it
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
How much of a fade is Nashville? They scored 4 goals and lost a hockey game.
Yeah.
I don't think they're scoring 4 goals again today.
I've been fading them the last few days, and a spoiler alert for later today. We might be continuing on that later today. Terry, let's get your thoughts on what we saw yesterday.
Well, thanks for having me back on the show, Ian. It's great to be on. Yesterday was a pretty good day for me as well, betting-wise. I had Carolina money line and Carolina in regulation.
Nice.
That's just a team I'm going to be backing. I also had Florida as well, but also a sprinkle on the draw with that one. I didn't get that, but it was a great night. Minnesota went down versus Anaheim. I hit them 4 units on them. Plus 125, just because I watch the Wild every game, right? So I've been noticing they've been going down, but they're the comeback kids, right? So all 4 games they've trailed and come back. So I was happy to get that plus money on the Wild. It was a couple parlays, a 4-teamer and a 3-teamer. So it was a good night. Seattle is on my fade list now. I didn't like what I saw from if you can't win your home opener, like this was a big game. They had time off for it to prepare. They just couldn't get the job done. So if they can't
get
the job
done, it's a
hard game
to evaluate though, Terry, because they played well. And unfortunately, Vancouver gets those couple chances and it goes in the net. It's one of those games where you want to bash the team because they lost, but there were a lot of good things in their game. And unfortunately, goaltending was not one of them. And yeah. Unfortunately, that's going to lose you games on certain nights, and it did last night.
I just can't. If they have this good situation and they play well and they can't win, then I can't see myself backing them.
And you guys know who their next game's against, right? Le Habitant.
Yeah.
The Habs are in town.
Yep.
After their first win, now they hit the road. I think the Habs get it done against Seattle, but we'll talk about that game in a few days.
Yeah, the start of a road trip's usually a bet on spot, so we'll see. But, disappointing. I mean, the crowd was great. I mean, they're certainly excited. And, look, overall, and you know what? They still clapped and cheered, actually, when the game ended. I thought that was very nice of the crowd to do that. Obviously, they wanted to see their team win their first home game. But to hear the crowd, you know, cheer and clap after the game ended 4-2 Vancouver, it was pretty cool. You know, it's like, it sucks we lost, but hey, we're thrilled to have this team here. We're thrilled to have hockey in Seattle. So that was pretty cool. The crowd did that. Let's go to Sunday's card. We'll start with San Jose, Boston. This is an early start, 1 p.m. Eastern, puck drop in Beantown. Boston minus 195 to minus 200. Home favorite, 6 the total, shaded to the under. So from a spot perspective, looks, this San Jose road trip, it's not over yet either. They go to Nashville after this. So this road trip just keeps on going for San Jose. And I've now basically said, you know, with this start that San Jose's had, till they lose, I'm not going against this team now. You know, they've shown me enough at this point. It's been very good. The goaltending for Maiden Hill's been great. So Doug Wilson's looking like a genius right now for signing him in the offseason, saying, get out of Arizona. It's kind of a toxic situation. The team's going into a rebuild. Bring you over here to San Jose. Give you some rope to be the number one goalie. Let's see what you can do with it. You can't be any worse than Martin Jones. That's for damn sure. And sure enough, he's come in here and he's played very well so far for the San Jose Sharks. So definitely give him a lot of credit for playing well. The defense, I'm impressed with the team defense. You're getting guys like Burns and Carlson even playing pretty solid in their own zone. And that's not always the case. Vlasic, of course, is known for being a very, very good stay-at-home defenseman. I've liked what I've seen from Jonathan Dahlin, some of their young players as well that have stepped up early in the year. Logan Couture has been very good, you know, and he kind of had a down season last year as well, but he still shows he can be a pretty good and effective player both ends of the ice for the Sharks. So they're playing well. Boston on the other side, they beat Buffalo the other night, took care of the Sabres. Now back home here for this early start game. The one thing I do get concerned about with Boston here, or sorry, with San Jose here, is the fact that you're talking about a San Jose team that from a body clock standpoint, this game starts at 10 a.m. For them. So how are they going to basically go about that is going to be the question mark here going into this game. How do they handle that, if you will, playing a very, very early game here in Boston? I think it lends itself to an under, to be honest with you. Rather than look at a side here in this game, that would be the lean for me, under 6. I certainly like the way the Sharks have defended early in the year, much better than I anticipated. I know the game with Toronto went over the total, but you have to factor in that the Leafs had Hutchinson in that night. They made some issues defensively with breakdowns as well. But the first two games of the road trip, Ottawa, Montreal, this was a team that was playing some pretty good tight checking hockey. And I think we're probably going to see more of the same here. You know, it's an early start game here in Boston. Could see it being a lower scoring affair. Looks like in terms of the goaltenders right now, Adin Hill, Linus Ullmark are going to be the goalies here in this game. And I thought Ullmark played very well against Buffalo. Now, obviously, against his former team, you're fired up. You want to beat him. But that was a very good first start for Linus Ullmark. So lean to the under. That's about it for me in this game. And certainly at this price, I'm not ready to fade San Jose just yet. Show me a loss, then maybe we can start going against them. Andrew, what do you like here? Sharks, Bruins?
I'm doing it. I'm back at the Garden, or the Bruins are back at the Garden, and I'm on them in regulation. I got the minus 125. I'm thinking the best number you can get around is minus 130 now. I think home ice is huge, especially I think the TD Garden is actually, I've been there a few times, great spot to play. And the Bruins, they don't like losing that home front of their home fans, you know. Looking at kind of their track record, what they've kind of had recently, going out and beating Buffalo and you know, cashing a ticket for us and hitting the puck line and getting a little mini blowout win, pass that gets on the board. There's, you know, it's always one of those things. And I mentioned on last show, it's nice to have that little get me up game. You know what I mean? Like get right game, but you got to come back at home now and play a team that's playing exceptional hockey that nobody thought would play exceptional hockey either. You know, and what I like about San Jose is that they play hockey the right way. You know, they don't try and score all these fancy goals. They score a lot of the around the net deflections and that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's kind of how you score these days in the NHL, unless it's a, you know, perfect top corner type play. And I think it's a fair price. And, you know, we've talked in the show about it already, but back to backs and, you know, long road trips, all that kind of stuff early in the season doesn't matter too much. But let's be honest here. This team, the Sharks, you know, they've been on the road now. This isn't just the start of a road trip. This isn't the second game of their road trip. This is an East Coast trip getting ready to get wrapped up on a Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Even if their body clocks are even a tad bit adjusted to Eastern time, like Ian alluded to, it's still early, you know, San Jose time. I think it's a bounce back spot here. I think that it's important for Boston to protect the Garden and to get a win in front of their home fans. And to, you know, kind of improve off that Buffalo win, because let's be honest, guys. I mean, that's not it. You know what I mean? Like that Buffalo win isn't gonna be the win that's gonna give you the confidence and kind of fire you up. And I'm not saying this team lacks confidence. I'm just saying I think that they're gonna need this win and want it in a really good bet on spot here. And you gotta think about it as well. Don't you guys think the Sharks are coming in with like a little bit of confidence right now and could be feeling a little bit too good for themselves? I know it's early in the year, but they dominated the Leafs. They didn't even just win against the Leafs. They dominated them. And to me, I think it might just be time for them to be like, you know what? We've had a great road trip. They're going to start slow. And the Bruins, they play a lot of afternoon games as well. Keep that in mind.
Way more than San Jose. Yeah.
They're going to play a lot of Sunday afternoon games this year. So I think it's a good spot for them. So give me the Bruins in regulation, -125 is what I got, whatever the best price is for you.
Yeah, it's an interesting, very fascinating game because the Sharks have surprised everybody. You know, they're getting a good Kevin LeBanc's been on fire for them as well. Mm-hmm. The goaltending from Aiden Hill's like a top five goalie and goals saved above average, the advanced statistic for goaltenders. And that tells you that he is legitimately through, honestly, it's obviously just a couple of weeks, but through a couple of weeks, based on that stat, he's one of the top five goalies in the league right now. Now, he's probably not going to stay that way for the whole year, but right now he's playing at an extremely high level, and we'll see if he can lead the Sharks in between the pipes once again to another victory, which would be their fifth straight win to begin the season if the Sharks can get it done today. Terry, did you bet this one, Sharks-Bruins?
Yeah, I'm on a San Jose +1.5, and I'm going to be sprinkling a little bit on a San Jose money line as well. So I'm against you there, Andrew. I just really like what I've seen from the Sharks so far, and it's hard for me to go against them here. Boston probably does have the better situational spot. You did scare me a little bit there with your analysis, Andrew, but I think the Sharks have played so well, it's so hard to go against them. So a small play on the money line and a little bit of a bigger play on the +1.5. Just because I do see this as a close game as well. So Boston wins by one. I'm covered. So
I was wrong about one thing what I said there, and I kind of remembered it right while I was talking. The Flyers game was at home or was on the road.
Right.
They haven't lost at home yet so far. But I still think after that Flyers loss, you know, going to beat Buffalo, they want to get some, momentum at home. So that's my mistake. They beat the Stars at home. They've only played – it's actually crazy. They've only played three games. We've got some teams that have played like five games, guys. But yep. And Tara, I can't talk you out of the +1.5. Like, obviously, I like the Bruins. But when you see an inflated price on a team, you know, like the Bruins right now against the Sharks team, I haven't always been a fan of the +1.5. But in an instance like this, I think the Bruins are a team that you could take. We could both win tonight, you know. Yeah. It could be today. It could be a 3-2 win for the Bruins. We'll both win.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it could be a one-goal game. It wouldn't surprise me to see a one-goal game. So got Andrew liking the Bruins in reg, Terry liking the Sharks money line, and a little bit more on the +1.5, which is -140. And I lean under the total of six in this one. Nashville, Minnesota. We've got Minnesota -165, home favorites, 5.5 the total in this game. This is a tough spot for Nashville, right? On the road, second straight day. Again, those back-to-backs aren't as bad as they would be later in the year, but it's been a rough go. Keep in mind the Seattle Kraken have just one win this year. It came against this Nashville team in Nashville 4-3 last week. And other than that, we see them lose to Carolina. They barely beat LA for their only win this year, and then back-to-back losses to the Rangers at home and then Winnipeg 6-4 last night. And now you look at the situation here for Nashville. It's that there's a good chance we're going to see Connor Ingram in net here, because David Riddick is on the COVID list currently he's on the COVID list for the Nashville Predators. So he's out of commission right now for them and not available to John Hines and this Nashville team to be in net. And of course, UC Saros played last night in the game against Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. So there's a good chance we see the youngster Connor Ingram in net here for Nashville. And it's already been confirmed that on the back-to-back, it'll be Kaapo Kähkönen in net for Minnesota, a guy that is definitely inferior, in my opinion, to Cam Talbot, the way Cam Talbot's been playing for the Minnesota Wild. I just find there's a little bit more up and down inconsistency in the play out of Kaapo Kähkönen. So We'll see how he fares here tonight, but it's certainly both teams obviously played yesterday, but Minnesota played at home. They don't have to travel. Nashville has to go from Winnipeg to Minnesota. So from a back-to-back situation, even though both teams are in the back-to-back, it's a little bit more advantageous right here for this Minnesota team. And by the way, there's some ugly things here as well for the Predators. You know, 0-6, their last six games as a road underdog. That's nothing that you're all that excited about in terms of backing them here. I think Minnesota does get the victory here. Struggling team here, this Nashville team. And it really, like I said, defensively, this team has really had their share of issues as well. So I like Minnesota. And what I'm going to do here is they are the first of a two-team parlay for me today in the NHL. I'm parlaying Minnesota with a game that we'll talk about in just a bit. That's what I'm doing from a side perspective. But I'm also going to get in on the over here in this game at 5.5 with the Preds and the Wild. 6-4 last night with Nashville. You look, by the way, at Minnesota. 5-1 to the over, their last six on the second of a back-to-back going into this game for Minnesota. So they've played higher scoring games, and Nashville trending to the over as well on the second of back-to-back games in the short term. And, you know, goaltending, I think Ingram for Nashville, likely Kakinen for Minnesota, I don't think is quite as good as Talbot. So I think both teams can find the back of the net here as well. So I like over 5.5, and we'll have Minnesota as part one of a two-team parlay for me. That's the way I'm going in this game. Andrew, what do you think here? Preds and Wild.
Well, it seems like I've been involved in lots of Wild games so far to start the year, and they've all been Wild, like we said at the start, you know? So, you know, this is the thing. With the Predators, it's kind of like this. You don't want to ignore trends, and you don't want to ignore something you already thought before the season started. And that's, you know, you and I are on the same page, Ian. We don't like this Predators team. And if I already don't like them and the situation gets worse for them right now with the back-to-back, with traveling, with the goaltender situation they have going on, I look at this game and I see under, actually. I actually think that, you know, I've talked about it before. When you've got goaltenders, you know, making their season debut or a young goaltender, teams rally around that. And the Minnesota Wild, what have they not done this year at all? And it's have a good start defensively. So you got to wonder, at home, coaching staff, the message is going to have to be start defensively, have a good start, you know, protect the zone entries, take care of things in the neutral zone, dump the puck in. I could see this being kind of a boring hockey game, you know, and I could be completely wrong, but it just has that feel to me that we've seen so much excitement from the Minnesota Wild. You know, we've got the goalie tandem now with Talbot and Kapanen. And I just think that he's going to come in and say, you know, I'm still good. You know, don't forget about me, guys. And we talked about it yesterday. The NHL these days, there's no such thing as an 80-20 ratio anymore. It's 60-40, you know, with backup goaltenders to starting goaltenders, you know. So when these guys get their chance to get in, they want to perform really well as well. And I kind of like this spot, you know, for Kapanen coming in. So I'm on the under in this one. I lean towards the Wild. I'm not really sure how I'm going to play it yet, so I won't really say anything on that. I potentially will look to lock in a parlay with them. I did that yesterday as well, but I'm not going to lie. I'm tempted with this plus 150 puck line. I'm real tempted, but I do like that under, so it kind of scares me. So there's a good chance I'll end up with a parlay just like yourself.
Yeah, definitely. It's a Kakinen. It's an opportunity for him. The one thing is that Minnesota's really been pushing the pace at home. I mean, they have got 80 shots in their first two home games. And that's kind of why I like the 80 shots. If Connor Ingram faces, you know, 35, 40 shots, how many is he stopping truly? Unless Nashville's totally selling out, blocking shots, playing sturdy defensively. And to be honest, I've not always seen that from Nashville. Their best defensive games this year were L.A., you know, and that's always a team that doesn't always light it up. But then there's games where they've given up 3 goals, 4 goals, and 6 goals to some of the better offensive teams, Carolina, Winnipeg, even Seattle got 4 goals against them. And now you're seeing this Minnesota team, which has scored, 10 goals in 2 home games. They've really driving the play. And that's the thing that makes Dean Evason different from Mike Yeo, Jacques Lemaire. You go down to any recent Minnesota Wild head coach, he lets the offensive players spread their wings, show their talent, show their skill. Don't hold anything back, and especially when they're at home. And like we say, they played 6-5, 4-3 hockey games here in their first 2 home games. So I just think they're going to put a lot of pressure on that Nashville team defensively here tonight. Terry, what do you think here, Preds and Wild?
Well, this is going to be definitely a live bet I'm going to be looking at. Wild have trailed in every game so far this season, but have come back in every game this season. So they're a good team. If they go down, like Ian says, we haven't started the first period very well. So if the Wild go down at any point, I'd be looking to take them live to come back after that. I think that's the best way to go. I'm also on the Wild team total over 3.5 at +105. Getting 4 goals on a Nashville team that played last night in Winnipeg didn't look very good. Now Ingram, it's not confirmed that he's in net. They could put Saros back in again, but I think Saros in again or Ingram, I think the Wild can get 4 goals here. And I wouldn't talk Andrew off the puck line, but just the Wild have played in such close games so far. Regulation puck line, it kind of seems a little bit risky for me just because of how they've played.
Because of the slow starts, yeah.
But if they go down by a goal and you see them at plus money, jump on them. That's when I would jump on them. When you see them at plus money, if they're down in the first or the second. Kakkonen, first start of the year. He had that amazing win streak last year. I think it was like 9 or 10 games in a row he won. And then the second half of the season, he had a rough go of it. A couple really bad game versus the Blues where he let in 9 goals and was kept in. And then a bad game versus Colorado. So he's not facing Colorado or the Blues today. He's facing Nashville, who definitely doesn't have the same offensive talent, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm on the Wild, of course.
team total
over 3.5. And then
I'll be looking
for them live if they go down.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is not so much betting on minutes, even though I like the way they've played. They found ways to win. I shouldn't say I like the way they played for 60 minutes, but they found ways to win. They're 4-0. The cardiac kids, they've come back from deficits. It's more that I'm just so anti-Nashville. I'm just not at all impressed about much of anything I'm seeing out of them. It looks like we've got Henry here. Henry the Eighth, I am joining Andrew on the show there. So I think with Andrew on the show, we're going to be seeing a lot of Henry. Henry likes to stay close to his new father, it looks like. So way to go, Henry.
I just got to time out the time at the park and the play time outside. So when he comes in, he naps, but the problem is I didn't time it out well today. So he already napped for like an hour before the show. So I only had so much time to do the show before he started waking up. And
yeah, that's what I think when they're young, they don't sleep as long. They got so much energy built up. Then when you'll notice they get older, like 7, 8 years old, they're going to sleep for a good solid couple, 3 hours. At least.
Well, it's nice. He sleeps a lot. It's just in like hour long intervals.
Yeah.
So and anything you have to do, anything I have to do around the house, I have to do it when he's sleeping. Dishes, like making food, doing work, it has to be done.
It is. It's like having a baby, like an infant child too. Like you got to find time to do all the stuff you need to get done when it's sleeping, when the baby's sleeping. It's the same thing with a dog, especially when they're at that very, very young age that Henry is. We move on now. By the way, before we get to our last two games, let's talk DraftKings, our great partners here, official sports betting partner of the NFL and the NHL. It's DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. It's that simple. Again, if the sportsbook for DraftKings isn't available in your state or you're in Canada, you can still play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN. DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL and now the NHL as well. Must be 21 years of age or older in a DraftKings Sportsbook state. You must reside. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Download that DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up for an account and use the promo code THPN. All right, it's Detroit and Chicago. Next up, we've got Chicago -150 home favorites, 5.5, 6, the total in this game. And Chicago is the team that is part two of that parlay I mentioned. So two-team parlay for me, Minnesota and Chicago. I think for Chicago, there are things to like about their last two games, even though it was a loss to the Islanders and a loss to Vancouver. I thought their defensive game was a lot better, but now all of a sudden they're having trouble scoring goals, and now the offense has cooled off. So that's been the issue with the Blackhawks. Early in the season when they were losing, they were scoring goals, and their defense and their goaltending, but particularly their defense, was really having a tough time. And now they've really worked at shoring up things in their own zone. And now it's coming at the expense of their offense. So they just haven't put it all together here, but they catch the ultimate spot to find a way to get their first win. And look, we saw Montreal couldn't get anything going, couldn't win, couldn't find a way until last night when they played this Detroit team. And now all of a sudden you are seeing Detroit now having to play second night of back-to-backs on the road. Not only that, guys, but this could be an issue too. I want to point this out. Toronto, I don't want to excuse the 7-1 loss, but they had to travel Canada to the States, go do the extra long process, extra long customs, you know, process that you have to do now with the added security of traveling from country to country now over the border. And Toronto didn't play well, you know, and they got into Pittsburgh late, and you worry about that for for Detroit, I should say, tonight in this game, going from Montreal to Chicago. And, you know, this is a process that they're doing here. Is that going to impact them now on a back-to-back here against Chicago? And for the Blackhawks, if this isn't the night to win your first game, when's it going to happen for you? I mean, I don't want to be that guy that makes one regular season game sound critical and vital, but boy, I'm telling you right now, we're at a situation where the season could start to go off the rails at this point in time. If you're the Chicago Blackhawks, if you can't win this game tonight, this is a pivotal game for them. I think they've had elements of their game that they've shown that they've been good enough to win the last two, even the Islander game. They took the play to the Islanders in the first period in particular. And if Ilya Sorokin was not as outstanding as he was, they could have won that game and could have had a lead after the first period. So I am on Chicago, but I'm putting them in a two-team parlay with the Minnesota Wild. Terry, what do you think here with Detroit and Chicago?
I don't have an official pick on this game, not yet anyways, but shout out to Melissa in the chat. She sent me a very interesting stat that I wanted to read out. The Blackhawks could make dubious NHL history tonight. The NHL record for the longest drought without a lead to start a season is 324 minutes and 25 seconds by the California Golden Seals in 1970. The Hawks 0-4-1 are at 300 minutes and 57 seconds going into tonight's game. So they are about 23 minutes of not leading. And they will break the NHL record for not having led to start a season. So obviously I'm sure the Blackhawks don't want to make that record, but as a Wild fan, I'd be happy to see them break that losing record and have the longest losing streak. So we'll see what happens with that. If they can lead, if they can get a lead at all in the first or the early part of the second, then they won't break that streak. But it's a tough game. Detroit will have Bertuzzi back in the lineup because they are in the States. He wasn't able to come to Canada because of not getting his vaccine. So he will be in the lineup versus the Hawks tonight. And we'll see what happens. But it's a tough game for me to have a pick on.
I agree. I shouldn't say I agree because I'm on Chicago, but I'm putting them in a parlay. Like, I would not want to lay -150 with them, to be honest with you. I wouldn't. But because I'm going to take Minnesota, take Chicago, and I'm not a big parlay guy, not at all. Rarely do I do this, but I felt that it made sense today with the Minnesota game and with the Chicago game to look in that direction. By the way, Patrick Kane, you're right, out tonight for the Chicago Blackhawks. Oh. So keep that in mind. He's out indefinitely, COVID protocol, no timetable right now for his return. However, we do often see, like, hey, first game without a key player, everybody steps up. And I think there's a collective sense of urgency for Chicago. I'm telling you, they played very well for good portions of the Islander game and the Vancouver game, and they just did not get rewarded with the goals. Their defensive game did improve a little bit. I think tonight's the night they get that first win. I really do. Andrew has joined us outside now with us here on the show, but he's back with us. Andrew, did you have any thoughts here with Detroit Chicago?
Yeah, if this doesn't show I have commitment, I don't know what else will. Running out with the laptop, I had to change things I was using. Yeah, I'm on. I like the over here, actually, guys. You know, I think that looking at Detroit, past two games, they've kind of got embarrassed, you know, and obviously no team wanted to be Montreal's first, you know, no pun intended. You know, they didn't really want to be the team that Montreal got their first win against in explosive fashion as well. And just, I think, you know, we don't always want to buy into the back-to-backs early in the season, but for them, I think I will. You know, they played three different style of teams recently with Columbus, Calgary, and Montreal, and now playing a Chicago team. And I agree with what you're saying, Ian. I'm a huge, I believe completely. And when you have one guy out of the lineup, the team rallies around it. I think they'll be fine. I mean, look what happened yesterday with Pittsburgh. If that doesn't tell you that people can rally around their teammates, these guys are all NHL players. I like Chicago as well, but I feel like we'll get goals from both sides. And something tells me that, when Chicago got their first win of the season or when they started to get it going, it's not going to be in low scoring fashion. So, and we're getting a 5.5 here as a total. So I'm on the over.
All right. Liking the over. I think the over's gone three out of the last four meetings in Chicago between these two teams have gone over the total. Lankinen in net. Yes. He has not allowed more than two goals he has played well against Detroit. I think that's part of the reason too, for Lankinen getting the start. He's played extremely well against the Red Wings in the past. We'll see if that can continue here today. All right, we've got the New York Islanders and the Vegas Golden Knights final game on this Sunday slate. Vegas -130, home favorites, 5.5 the total, shaded to the under. We said it on Friday's show, you know, I took Edmonton, used it as a best bet. Just a banged up hockey team and struggling to cope, you know, with all the key personnel that's out for Peter DeBoer and the Golden Knights right now. I mean, you're talking, they had already started the year without Alex Tuch. Now you're without Pacioretty and Stone, and you're going to be without them still for another period of time. At least Stone, it looks like it's more of a day-to-day thing with him, but not likely to play tonight. Alec Martinez, of course, didn't play in the last game either against Edmonton. So you definitely have concerns about that with this group. And they have struggled to put wins on the board. They still only have the one victory this year, and that was the very first game of the season against the Seattle Kraken. Three straight losses to the Kings, the Blues, and the Oilers for this Vegas Golden Knights team. So they're definitely having a tough time. Not a team I'm looking to back right now. When you look at the Islanders on the flip side, they're coming off a shutout win last night against the Arizona Coyotes. It's a crazy long road trip, 13 straight on the road to begin the year because they're waiting for UBS Arena to get finished construction of that new building that they're going to play in. And they're going to be on the road for a while longer. So they're only at the halfway mark right now of this extremely long road trip. And look, this has been a team that is now, you know, on the second night of back-to-backs. So that's always a little bit of a concern. But remember, so were the Oilers. Oilers did the same Arizona-Vegas trip on a back-to-back Thursday-Friday that the Islanders are doing here last night and today, and Edmonton still got the job done on a back-to-back beating Vegas. So I have to look toward the Islanders here at a plus price. I just don't like the way the game has gone for the Vegas Golden Knights and until they get some of these guys back because, you know, it'd be one thing if they were struggling with these guys out, but I was seeing Marchessault and Riley Smith and some other guys up front in the top six step up. I'm not seeing them step up for Vegas. They have not really stepped up yet to the plate and produce offensively in the absence of Pacioretty and Stone. So I took the Oilers last night, and I'm going to take the Islanders here tonight at around a +115 price is what we're looking at here on the New York Islanders here in this game. Now, keep in mind with the back-to-back for the Islanders in the 3-0 win last night, over the Arizona Coyotes, it was a situation where, again, you may see a different goalie tonight. You had Sorokin in net last night for the New York Islanders. And with this being a back-to-back for them, you know, you might see Corey Schneider. I'm not saying you will for sure, but it is a back-to-back. And that might temper my enthusiasm a little bit on the Islanders, but we'll see. We'll see if that becomes official. I'm hoping actually they go with Sorokin on a back-to-back like the Oilers did with Koskinen, but not confirmed yet. Either way, I could only look to the Islanders in this game. Andrew, I think he's still there. What do you think here, Andrew, Islanders and Golden Knights? No, he isn't. All right, we'll go to Terry. I think he's tending to Henry there for a second, yeah. His dog. Terry, what do you like here, Islanders, Golden Knights?
No pick on this game yet, but the goalie confirmations is going to determine my play. If Corey Schneider is in net, then I don't want any part of the game at all. If they do put Sorokin back on again out there tonight, he did get a 3-0 shutout versus Arizona yesterday. If they do put him out today, then I'll probably look towards the under 5.5. It's just tough as of right now, not knowing the goaltender. There's no way I'm backing Corey Schneider, so I'd have to see what's happening in net first. But it's being off a shutout, you think they'd put Sorokin back in, you know, but it's up to the coach, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Barry Trotz, we'll see what he ends up doing here. You know, it's funny that he actually was placed on waiver Schneider before the season, but he cleared waivers. He ended up back with the team. Nobody picked him up, and he's backing up Sorokin until Semyon Varlamov, of course, is ready to return. So that's where – no, it's okay. I mean, Vegas isn't going to lose every game forever, and at some point they're going to win without these two guys. It's just I haven't seen enough quality in their play to think that's going to be tonight. And that's the issue. I think Andrew is still away. Andrew, you there? Yeah, so we've lost Andrew for now. We'll see if we get him back before the end of the show. If not, I'll make sure to get the best bet from him before and post it on the Patreon page, and we'll let people know what that is. But that's the end of the show. We will get to best bets in just a second. Good time in the NFL. Slate is about to begin. And, of course, the first NHL game as well. San Jose-Boston about to get underway. So we'll wrap it up with best bets here for this Sunday card. Terry Edelman, our special guest. We'll start with him. What do you like for best bet today?
Well, this is kind of tough to choose a best bet. I get what Andrew was saying about it's tough to choose the best bets. I'm going to go Minnesota team total over 3.5. +105, nice plus money, asking them to get 4 goals. I like it. +105.
All right. Minnesota Wild team total over 3.5. Best bet for Terry for this Sunday slate. Wow. This is a tough one. My best bet. Oh boy. That's well, there's only 4 games. It's, oh man.
Yeah,
it's tough. I don't love anything today. I don't love anything today. On this board, I'm going to go the Islanders. You know, I'm going to go the Islanders and just hope it's Sorokin. But keep in mind, this is probably not the true strong best bet material if I hear that it's Corey Schneider in net. But either way, I like the value anyway. You've got a struggling Vegas team. The Islanders, might be able to take advantage of this group. Certainly their structure is going to keep them in every single game defensively. And I think they can still get the victory here in Vegas. The struggling Golden Knights, the depleted, shorthanded Golden Knights as well. We'll go with the New York Islanders +115 against the Vegas Golden Knights. Best bet for me on this Sunday card. Andrew, one last check-in to see if you're there. He ain't, so that's all right. We thank Andrew for joining us as always. Of course, we should have the entire crew, by the way, back on the show tomorrow on Monday, Alex and Jimmy as well. So looking forward to a brand new week right here on the ice, guys. We thank everybody for tuning in live on YouTube. Before we sign off, a reminder that the Ice Guys is live on YouTube 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Make sure you tune into the podcast as well. Andrew, final words. Are you there?
Yeah, guys, I apologize.
That's all right.
Situation, Sunday afternoon, you know. My favorite play of the day is the game is starting in 3 minutes. Bruins and regulation. I really do like that play. And as far as the Vegas Islanders game,
there's nothing. I'm looking at the under in this game. You know, I think it's a funny spot because it's obviously back to back. But let's be honest, we've said the same thing before about the Coyotes. When you play them, it's like a scrimmage. How much energy did they really lose last night? I look towards the under, but you know, if it's kind of the old fashioned saying from Teddy Covers, if I'm playing, I'm laying. Well, if I'm playing, I'm laying it with the Islanders. I'm not back in Vegas right now. Desperate times for them, though, Ian.
Yeah, it is. The Islanders were good to me last night, though, against Arizona. So hopefully more of the same here. Like I say, took Edmonton.
Desperate for Vegas. Desperate for Vegas.
Yeah, desperate for Vegas for sure. You know, they're not going to lose every game without Pacioretty and Stone, but they have not shown enough from their other forwards. Have to do more than they have so far in the few games they've had. No Pacioretty, no Stone. So there we go. That is the Sunday show. We thank our special guest as well, Terry Edelman, for joining us. That's a wrap for Terry, for Andrew. This is Ian Cameron. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we will talk to you again tomorrow on Monday for another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.